witness.
That's right. The New Testament tells us over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that we're to abstain from the very appearance of evil. We're not to have any evil trappings. We're not to have any evil associations. We're not to have any evil influences hanging on to us. We're supposed to have it totally removed from us. That there's not even an appearance of it. Isn't that good? I mean, he put the picture there for us. That there be no appearance of leaven anywhere. Not only in your, not in your person, not on your person, not in your house, not even with you. Because I see that when he talks about putting leaven out of your house, he's talking about putting leaven out of your life. He's saying, get rid of it. Don't allow it to be a part of you at all. Don't let it be in your habitation. Because we know that the New Testament speaks numerous times likening our body as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said in Corinthians, he said, listen, if this earthly tabernacle, this house be dissolved, I've got a new one from heaven, a dwelling that is not made with hands. So he is referring to the temple which we are, or to the house which we are. And leaven has to be put entirely out of it, not just put away, not just covered over, not just kind of stuck in the back corner or just kind of put in the back burner, but put it completely away, completely out of the house. Hallelujah. I like that. But is that possible for us to do? Sure it is, because this, he says in verse 8, this is done because of that which the Lord did when I came out of Egypt. He says in verse, the latter part of verse 9, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought you out of Egypt.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? I'll tell you, when the Lord brought us out of Egypt, when that Passover lamb was slain, he broke the back of sin. He broke the power of sin, Romans 6 tells us. He broke the influences of sin. It no longer has to be with us. It can be absolutely and totally put away and put out of the house and not be seen with us at all. A lot of Christians don't believe that. They say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll always keep on sinning. I can't live without sinning. Well, you can't live by sinning. Because it has to be put away. Has to be put away. Out of the house, gone. So that there's not even a semblance of sin with us. Not even a semblance of leaven with us. It's gone, it's put away, it's not even seen. The very appearance of evil needs to be gone. That's why it is important for us to conduct our lives in such a way that's fitting the calling that we've been called with. That's why Ephesians says we're to walk worthy, or walk in a manner fitting the calling for which we have been called. He's called us with a holy calling. He set us free. Have you ever considered that every bit, every iota of the old Adamic nature that we inherited by virtue of natural birth was dealt with, put away in that Passover lamb? It was. He brought us out with a strong hand.
Yeah.
There was, Pharaoh couldn't stand before that, before God's dealings. The armies of Egypt couldn't stand before God's dealings. What's that represent? Satan and all his hordes. They could not hold us in their bondage when the Lord said, I want my people to go. Sin was not sinful enough. Sin did not have the strength, did not have the power to hold you in his clutches. And the lamb was slain, and you received and partook of that lamb. It didn't matter whether you were on a journey or had you been defiled by death. God made provision to wait until you were back from your journey, if you please. And he made provision for you to get cleansed or get dealt with, that you were, when you were defiled with death. There was no one that was outside the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Now I want to look at some examples of leaven in the New Testament, because this will perhaps make it a little clearer for us to understand exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about putting away leaven. So first let's go over to the 16th chapter of Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 16, and then we'll look first at verse 6.
Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells them, take heed, verse 6, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And of course, they started reasoning among themselves. They thought he was kind of reprimanding them because they had forgotten to bring bread or something. Down in verse 11, he asked them another question. He says, how is it that you do not understand that which I How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so we see that false doctrine, or doctrine that is not in keeping with what God is doing, is likened to leaven. And he specifically mentions that it's, that's the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we're going to look at several areas. We're going to look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaven of Herod, the Corinthians, and the Galatians. We're going to look at all these aspects or examples of leaven in the New Testament to help us perhaps see what it is that he's getting at. So let's go on now to the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and let's examine the leaven of the Pharisees just a bit. Chapter 23 of Matthew, I want to read the first three verses. And then we'll also want to go over to Luke chapter 12, the first verse. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. I want you to notice that. First he had been talking to his disciples back over there earlier in the 6th chapter. The 16th chapter. And now he's talking to the multitude as well as the disciples, saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. What is he saying here? He's saying what they're teaching in itself is not bad. They are teaching concerning the law. They're teaching certain moral things that are proper and right, the things that could be upheld. The teaching is there, but they what the problem is, it says they say and do not. They talk about what's right, they talk about what should be done, but they themselves don't do it. So going over to Luke now, the 12th chapter, let's just look at the first verse, and he explains this a little bit further, and then we want to examine this a bit. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Over here then he says, he's going to get it much more, a little more plainer. He says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon the other. You talk about a big meeting. They were stepping on each other. They were crowding around trying to hear, and they were stepping on each other. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, see the first thing he started telling his disciples? First of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. They say, but they don't do. There are many in the church today that say that God provided a lamb for us. There are many in the church that will say that the blood was shed that we might have the remission of sin. There are many who say that there's power in the blood. The lamb has the ability to save. It has the ability to keep us and all that. But they'll say and don't do. They continue on with sin in their lives. They continue on with leaven in their lives. Or they perhaps give other kind of doctrines. It doesn't matter what it might be. They may preach great words. They may give great exhortations without any attempt or any desire to walk in them themselves. There are still a lot of Pharisees around in the church today. I've heard people minister good words, words of truth. And then afterwards I've talked with them and they denied what they preached about. Or perhaps you've been in churches. I know when the churches, the denominational churches I used to be in years ago, the children used to be taught in Sunday school and in summer Bible school and things like that. They were taught that they're to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. Act like Jesus. Be like Jesus.
And so when we grew up and got our revelation, hey, that's exactly what it meant. We're to walk like Jesus. They said, well, you can't do that. You can't walk like he walked. You're just a mere mortal. He was the Son of God. They say, but they don't do. Are we guilty of that? I hope not. That's leaven. That leaven needs to be put away, out of the house. Not even be found with us. Not have any part with us at all, but be totally gone. We'd be separated. The very appearance of that sort of thing shouldn't even be once named among us. But if we're going to speak it, if we're going to claim it or proclaim it, then let's apply it to our lives. The Pharisees can be well remembered by, they're the ones who's always going around saying, I'm Pharisee. They had the word, and they always looked at the word for themselves, and so they consider themselves to be fair. I see. The next doctrine that admonished them were to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So looking for the Sadducees, let's look in Acts chapter 23. We'll see the doctrine of the Pharisees laid out for us very clearly. Okay, I want to look at the verse 8. This is a contention that was going on when Paul was on trial. And as he was there on trial, he perceived, they said in verse 6, that some were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. And he called out that he was also a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. And then he talks about, as a result of what he said about the resurrection, the multitude was divided. For in verse 8 it says, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection. Neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So the Sadducees, they did not believe in a resurrection. Matter of fact, they did not believe in anything really supernatural. They did not have the spirit of things at all. All they knew was the letter of the word and didn't even understand that. They were the category that Paul referred to when he said, I think it's in 1 Corinthians somewhere, I didn't write this reference down, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You know that scripture? You see, that's why they were called Sadducees. They didn't believe in a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They were the ones, the modern day Pharisees today are those who have a form of godliness, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 5, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of God. They can preach great words about the glorious power and the miraculous things that God used to do. They forget that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They forget that God said, I am the God who changes not. But they relegate all of that to up to the end of the first century of Christianity, and they will not admit to 20th century miracles. They will not admit that he is the same supernatural God with the same supernatural power and abilities today as he was in the first century church. But I like to go on record that he is the same. He is the same. I am not of the sect of the Sadducees. I believe not only in a resurrection, but I also believe in the supernatural. They deny the resurrection. They deny angels and spirit. The Pharisees confess both. You see, the Pharisees were not that off on the doctrine. It's just that they were hypocrites. That's why Jesus, he gave some of the most brutal, blistering remarks to the Pharisees of any people he ever spoke to. Called them a generation of snakes. He said the harlots are going to go into the kingdom before they do. Think of blistering word. All right, Herod. Let's look at the leaven of Herod. It will mark the 8th chapter. Come with me over there.
Mark chapter 8. I want to look at verse 15, and then we'll go back to chapter 6 of Mark. 8:15. Listen to what he said. And he, Jesus, charged them, again speaking to his disciples, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So you see, something in the life of Herod that he was referring to was also considered leaven. You'll find that he is again reminding his disciples to beware, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because that is probably the most deadly, to say and not do. That's why the scripture admonishes us in James, let's not be hearers of the word only, but let's be what? Doers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. Okay, let's go back to the 6th chapter of Mark and find out what this leaven was that he was talking about with Herod. We'll start reading with verse 14, and I'll go for the background here. We're going to find you a little later on in the account. King Herod heard of him, this is John, for his name was spread abroad. He said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore many mighty works do show forth themselves in him. I'm sorry, I guess he's referring of Jesus. Others said, this is Elias. And others said, this is a prophet, or one of the prophets. And when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. And he observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. In other words, there was a time when Herod actually heard gladly the things that John the Baptist had to say. But John the Baptist was one who did not back down from sin. And so therefore he called a spade if you please. And he said, listen, it's not lawful that you have your brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And he kept hammering at that thing, and it irritated her. She'd have liked to kill him, but she couldn't because it was Herod's word, and Herod said no, because there was a certain amount of respect for what John the Baptist stood for, even though he knew there was wrong, he was guilty. And when in verse 21, when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lord, the high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask of me whatsoever you will, and I'll give it to you. And he sware on her, and he said, whatsoever you shall ask of me, I'll give to you, even to the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And her mother said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that you give me by and by, or right away, in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Now listen to verse 26. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king set an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went out and beheaded him in prison, and so on. Now, what is the leaven of Herod? Well, you see, Herod knew better. He went against his own conviction. But the reason he had the ability to go against his own conviction was because his conviction was very much meshed in worldliness. He was playing with the world. He never made a positive confession that he was a believer, but he kept playing around the big time. He was political and all the rest of it, but when it came right down to it, he could not stand for his conviction. He compromised because of what he had said and because of afraid of the people who were with him. He would not reject him. He could have as a king, but he wouldn't. And so the leaven of Herod is worldliness and compromise. Compromise, one of the most deadly things that you can allow in your life. Just a little side note here. You might notice it was at a birthday party all this took place. There are only a couple of birthday parties mentioned in the scripture, and every one of them end up in death and in chaos. So it would be good perhaps for us to consider whether we should count our birthdays or not. I'm sure that these things aren't in here just to fill the pages. Well, the leaven of Herod, worldliness and compromise. All right, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to look at something over there. This is probably one of the more familiar ones. First Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 1, read the first six verses. It's reported common that there is fornication among you, such fornication that is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away or put away from the midst of you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit by the power of the Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the last, in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So what he was saying to him is, listen, you have got to purge out that permeating influence that's working in the midst of the church. Because what they were doing, they were boasting that grace now covered it. They were boasting now that because they were Christians and they were believers, they could have this sort of thing going on in the church, but they were under the grace of God. Sensuality, the works of the flesh, lusts, are other leavens that have to be purged, be done away with, set aside, gotten rid of, put out of the house. And yet, you know, today, I believe we're seeing a recurrence of this very thing. I mean, the churches even today are riddled with immorality. Pastors caught in the throes of immorality and sex and sensuality. Riddled. Homosexuals standing in the pulpits of the churches. Even gone to the place of having homosexual churches, homosexual weddings, immorality. But we're Christians. David Wilkerson tells of meeting prostitutes and pimps and what have you on the streets of the big cities as he's ministering to them. And they come to him and they say that they come to him praising the Lord. They say, we're Christians, we're believers. But they're continuing on in their sin and the prostitution and all the drug usage and all the rest of it. But oh, we've received the Passover lamb, so that makes it all right. No, it doesn't. That makes a provision. There's a power there to deliver us, but the provision is also there to get free and stay free and put that leaven completely out of our lives. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Galatians. One more area of leaven and want to look at. I just felt it would be good to look at some of these areas in our study with the unleavened bread to see, to kind of get a little bit more of a scriptural basis for what we're talking about when we're talking about leaven and that which needs to be put away. Again, I'm going to read chapter 5. I'm going to read very quickly the first 9 verses to get the context for what we want to say. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to you the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Or if you want to literally translate that, you were severed from Christ. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whoso of you is justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? The faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little.